Scarlet and the Wolf, Part 2. I spent that next day with Grandma. She gave me the strangest of looks when I entered the kitchen that morning, but she didn't say anything. Gran, listen, I'm sorry if I got you worried yesterday. What happened, Scarlet? You didn't come, but then Silas turned up. He was crazy with worry. Gran just left the words hanging there. Careful, girl. That man's patience is a knife edge, and you are balancing right on it. I know, Gran. I'd gone off the trail and broken through the ice into the river. If it hadn't been for the big alpha wolf pulling me out, I don't know what would have happened. Gran looked at me, sharply. The alpha? You mean the one that Silas has devoted his life to hunting down? He has? I didn't know that, I replied pensively. Where have you been, girl? Asleep? Silas works for the Sancti Vigilis. Sancti Vigilis? I raised an eyebrow. The Holy Watchmen, Scarlet. They devote their lives to hunting down the Weir. You mean this was no normal? I doubt it. You say he pulled you out of the river? Why would a normal beast do such a thing? Gran asked sharply. I don't know. I just don't know. Grandma seized my wrist, sniffing my hood. This stink isn't river mud. It's territory. And that wolf didn't save you. He claimed you. And Silas knows. The day moved on. I helped Grandma with her chores. She wasn't finding things as easy as she had done only a few years ago. Time passed in companionable silence for most of the day. I tried to pry some more information about the Sancti Vigilis out of Gran, but she couldn't tell me much more. The organization seemed centuries old and had devoted itself not only to hunting down and killing all weir folk, but also to penetrating their secrets and making their very existence a thing of the past. Hearing this made perfect sense to me. I'd seen the fanatical glow in Silas's eyes when he washed the smell of the wolf off me. Gran told me that the Sancti Vigilis followed a religious creed of sorts. Their rituals were shrouded in secrecy, but they seemed to stretch all the way back to the Inquisition. The sun set early at this time of the year. The horizon was bathed in the colours of the winter sunset, and there was still no sign of Silas. I found myself getting concerned for his well-being and then immediately chastised myself for thinking it. If there was anybody that could look after himself, it was Silas. I wrapped a throw around my shoulders and stepped out onto the porch. The temperature was dropping rapidly and my breath formed little clouds of steam in the icy air. The cold bit my cheeks, but deeper still was the chill Silas left in his absence. A void that felt like both freedom and abandonment. I sighed and turned back inside. The warmth of the cottage enclosed me like a familiar embrace. No sign of him? Gran asked. No. Nothing, I said, unable to hide the concern in my voice. You have feelings for him? She stated softly. Yes, no. He scares me, I murmured. Why don't you end it? Grandma asked kindly. I'm not aware I ever started it. I don't even remember how we ended up together. It's like I never had an option other than to become his. I felt like Silas had always been around my family. He was at least 10 years older than me. I remember him playing with me when I was little, and I'd always looked up to him. So, when his physical affection became more intimate, it felt like a natural extension of our relationship. Be careful, Scarlet. Men like him rarely give up what they think belongs to them. It was then I heard the commotion outside, There was the bright noise of whining of an animal in obvious pain, followed by heavy footsteps from the front porch. I jumped up and near ran to the front door. "Silas!" I gasped when I pulled it open. He looked terrible, like death, thawing. Blood matted his beard, one eye swelled shut. His jacket wasn't just stained, it glistened under the porch light, reeking of iron and wet earth. Blood crusted his knuckles like dark sap. His or his praise? His face looked wild and was streaked with both dirt and blood. Behind him, bound by a twisted cord of an unfamiliar material, he dragged a pitiful-looking creature. My wolf. It collapsed in the snow, ribs heaving. "Get the key to the dog pen, Scarlet!" Silas barked at me in a commanding tone. Grandma's last German shepherd had died of old age, but his cage was still there. It was going to be far too small for the huge wolf, but I daren't argue with Silas. I ran to grab the key, hearing the wolf yap and whine in the background. What are you doing to him, Silas?" I asked tentatively as I stepped back outside, the key in hand. "I'm gonna take him back to the Order. I'm gonna peel the beast out of that fur. Get him to reveal his true shape so we can get some fucking information out of him. Wolfsbane keeps their devil's magic caged. Pray it holds." Silas dragged the wolf to the pen. The wolf limped after him. The golden eyes had burned with intelligence now. Only milky pain stared back. The arrow shaft jutted from his haunch like a broken flagpole. The wolf dragged its hindquarters, leaving a trail of crimson sludge in the snow. Every step made the arrow shiver. A gurgle escaped his throat with each pant. The sound of a drowning animal. "He's injured." "Good," Silas replied, his eyes feverish. "Do you understand what these beasts are capable of? They must be kept subdued at all costs. The arrow's unfused with Wolfsbane, so that should do the job for a while, but I'm not taking any chances with you or your grandmother's lives. I sworn to protect the innocent, so unlock the pen now." His pupils were pinpricks, fever bright. When he shook me, spittle flew from his lips. "Open the pen, girl, or I'll drag him by the arrow." My fingers froze on the rusted key. Behind me, the wolf whined. A sound that vibrated through my bones. Silas's breath hitched. For a heartbeat, I thought of slamming the gate on his hand, but in the end, I did what I was told and opened the barred door to watch Silas push the huge beast inside with brute force. "You're too good-hearted, little bird," he gasped with the effort. I looked for the wolf's golden gaze, but his eyes swam with wolfsbane and agony. Amber galaxies collapsing. He was clearly both in pain and suffering the effects from the poison. The cage door clanged shut, his labored breathing was clearly audible, steam rising from his panting tongue. "Should I bring him some water, Silas?" I asked tentatively, keeping my eyes on the creature. The soft white fur around his neck I'd held on while he pulled me out of the snow was now pink with blood. Silas looked at me sharply. "No," he replied curtly. "You will see to my wounds. Go inside. Warm some water. I will lock up out here." When I looked back one last time, the wolf lifted his gaze to fix mine. Something inside me shifted. It was not so much that I owed him for saving my life. It was more as though he was trying to tell me something. His amber eyes rolled back, his tongue lolling like a hanged man's. I shook my head and returned inside. The cottage's warmth felt like a lie against my skin. Outside, the wolf's whines cut through the frozen air, a sound that made my bones ache. "What's happening out there, Scarlet?" Grandmother asked. "Silas is back. He's caught the wolf. He's trapped him in the old dog kennel. He's injured him, but he won't let him die. shook my head with concern. It sounds like he wants to take him to the Sancta Vigilis tomorrow. I kept my hands busy filling the kettle with water and pulling it onto the cast-iron stove, then preparing a bowl with cold water to mix. I found clean washcloths, antiseptic ointment, and bandages. By the time the kettle had boiled, I could hear Silas's footsteps out on the porch. The door opened and his big frame blocked out the last evening light. With the sun now fully set in the clear sky, the temperature outside was dropping rapidly. I approached to help him peel off his stained clothes and caught a proper look of his face in the lamplight. He looked grey, almost ashen under the blood and dirt, like the fight had taken more out of him than could be seen on the surface. "Let me help you," I murmured softly, my hand already on his big shoulders. His face softened uncharacteristically. For just a moment, he let me see his fatigue and something else, an echo of pain in his eyes. I pulled the heavy coat off his shoulders, kicked off his damp boots and rolled down his heavy canvas over trousers. I passed both to Grandma, who took them, saying, "I'll go get this cleaned and dried in the wash house." She gave me a knowing look. I took Silas's hand and led him to the chair by the stove in the lamplight. Even sitting down, his head still almost reached up to my shoulder. I unbuttoned the top of his shirt, feeling his eyes on me as I worked. I lifted first one arm, then the other, so I could unbutton the cuffs of his shirt. I stole a glance out of the window, wondering how the wolf was faring. The stove's heat licked my back, but the memory of the wolf's desperate, panting breath sent ice down my spine. I took hold of the hem of Silas's shirt and carefully pulled up. A hiss escaped him as he moved. The first crack in his armor had ever discerned. His torso was covered in newly blossoming bruises. There were places where the wolf's fangs had penetrated his clothes and punctured his skin. He gingerly rotated his right shoulder as if to check for damage. I looked at him questioningly. "The goddamn beast wouldn't give up," he rumbled deep in his chest. I dipped a clean cloth into a bowl of warm water and started washing his wounds. I scrubbed blood from his skin with the same cloth that had stripped me bare hours before. On the outside, every scrape of the wolf's claws against metal made my hands jerk. Silas's eyes narrowed. "Listen well, little bird. That's the sound of salvation." He rested his hand possessively on my hip, a claim staked in heat and pressure, as I systematically washed him. The puncture wounds first, while the water was clean, then the more superficial abrasions, and finally his dirt-streaked face. Under the grime, his skin was corpse grey. A tremor ran through him when I touched the deepest bite, a wolf's kiss over his heart. His dark eyes were inscrutable, the firelight reflecting in them, and he didn't smile. The flames played in his pupils, two lit coals in a face carved from shadow. I yelped, half shock, half something darker, as he hauled me onto his lap. "Silas." He pulled me in close, and let his mouth find my neck, inhaling my scent as if he himself was a starving creature. "He'll never have you now," he murmured into my skin, kissing and nipping. Catching my tender skin between his teeth. His lips travelled my neck like a man mapping a border. He worked his way up to my ear until the sound of his hot, hungry breath was all I could hear. His fingers dug into my hip bone, a brand through my skirt. "Kneel." His order hung in the air like smoke. Outside, the wolf howled, a sound that tore through the night, through me. I hesitated. I didn't want to play his games, not now, where there was an injured creature outside needing my help. Even now I could hear his whines and scratches at the closed windows. Silas tensed against me. Have I not made myself clear? Scarlet. I hesitated for another moment before I mumbled, "Yes, Silas. Quite clear." He would keep me under close scrutiny all night if I didn't lull him into some sense of security first. My knees hit the floorboards before my mind consented. Splinters bit my skin. I folded like a puppet with cut strings. The floorboards groaned. Kept my fists clenched, nails biting crescents into my palms. Let him see my submission. Outside, the wolf yapped and whined restlessly. Silas's hand caged my skull, forcing my gaze upwards. A hunter steadying his kill. Good girl, he breathed, his eyes wolf wild, hungry. Unlace me. A velvet-coated command. His knuckles grazed my jaw, a mockery of tenderness. My hands moved, efficient, traitorous things, while my mind screamed into the void behind my eyes. My fingers fumbled on the laces of his leather pants and freed his hardening cock. He sighed deep in his chest and steered my reluctant mouth to his cockhead. He seemed to sense my unwillingness. What's wrong, girl? Have you forgotten who you belong to? No, Silas, I replied quickly, bringing my reluctant mouth over the fat head. One wrong breath and he would smell the lie. Stop! His voice had hit that tone of command that I could feel deep in my bones. A tone that made my breath quicken with fear and my sex tingle with want. He pulled me back up and threw me over his lap, his erection pressing into my belly. I yelped with surprise. I think you need a little reminder to help you focus. Lift your skirt. Pull down your underclothes. Silas, please. I pleaded, not knowing what I was asking for, but my hands remembered exactly what to do as they flipped up the heavy woolen fabric of my skirt and bared the soft flesh on my behind. Count. So simple a word, yet nothing simple about the maelstrom of feelings it triggered. One, I whispered, anxious arousal lacing my quiet voice. His big hand fell down, hard on my buttock. He had not held himself back. The hunt still in his blood, I cried out loudly. The kitchen door flew open and I heard my grandmother's panicked footsteps, but I didn't dare look up. Leave, woman. This doesn't concern you. Footsteps retreating, the door shutting. I was alone with him. Why did you stop, girl? I murmured, louder. Two! Down crashed his hand, the sound of flesh on flesh mingling with my cry. The wolf's answering howl trembled the window pane. Each slap cracked through me like lightning, a split second of blinding white pain before the thunder of arousal rolled in. My skin sang, and my soul cringed. The cottage's heat clung to my skin like a second shame outside. The wolf's howls sliced through the frozen dark. A sound that iced my spine even as Silas's hand burned my flesh. Three! More sob than a word. The hand fell and my body shook on his lap. His free hand snaked its way under me to find my sex. Somewhere in the dark, a floorboard creaked. Grandma's shadow hovered under the door, silent past my shame. So wet for me, already, my greedy little sparrow. He crooned and started circling my swollen bud. I was sobbing now. The howling got louder, more frantic. His cries weren't protest, they were a dirge. For me. For the girl swallowed by the wolf in my skin. Pain and pleasure mingled mind-bendingly, shamefully, as the numbers tended towards 10. Silas's preferred number, the number my mind was conditioned to. 10! I cried, as my belly contracted in a powerful grunt. Hound stopped. Sudden quiet, howled louder than any beast. Still dazed, I was pulled off his lap and pushed back down onto his cock. His rock hard. His bulbous head slipped past my lips. The taste of salty pre-cum. He fisted my hair, a gesture of harsh affection, before pushing my head further down his cock. Open your pretty throat, a little sparrow. He groaned, rocking his hips upwards. A pained noise escaped from my choked throat as he hit the constriction. Wider! He barked, suddenly standing up and tilting my head back. He groaned as he pushed right to the back of my throat. I whimpered, my hands clawing at his massive thighs, but there was no stopping him. Feverish energy seemed to have gripped him as he thrust his big member into my throat relentlessly. Struggled for breath, choking on him. Throat burning, eyes watering with the effort, but my desperation seemed to spur him on even more, as if he was trying to mark me, staking his ownership permanently. He roared his release, pushing himself into me to the hilt. His roar was a triumph. It was the beast's final roar. Seed flooded my throat, bitter as betrayal. He held me there, my face drowning in scratchy pubic hair, till my struggle for air got through to him. He pulled out. Suddenly, nothing came. The stomach soaked in air like a flood as I swayed on my knees, body collapsing against him. And his arms were around me. His kisses covering my face, his tongue probing my mouth like a starving man. Little bird. He murmured into my mouth, his hands in my hair. Can't have you now. You're mine. My breath still came in heaving sobs, calming only slowly in his hold. His callous thumbs dried the tears from my cheeks. He picked me up like a child. Or perhaps like a precious treasure he had conquered, cradling me against the fortress of his chest. He took me to his bed, wrapping his large body around me, his arms banded around me, possessive as iron shackles. His kisses feathered over my swollen lips, a conqueror worshipping ruined territory. Sleep now, little one.